This is the Word of God found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading verses 18 through 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is the last chapter, verses 18 through 22. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In everything give thanks. That's in everything. It means no matter what sort of circumstance you find yourself in life, find what there is to be thankful for. Now that can take some practice. Sometimes we develop very negative attitudes and we get an expectation about the way we want the world to be. And you know, if you've lived on this earth long enough, how things are rarely ever match up 100% to how you would like them to be. And if you choose to focus on that percentage of your life that is not the way you envision it should be, you end up making yourself a very unhappy person. But if you choose to focus on your blessings, such as, for instance, perhaps you had breakfast this morning, it's a beautiful day, sunshine and blue sky outside. We'll draw a breath right now, the air is pretty clean. You've got people around you, many of whom very much care for you. And most of all, if you've been blessed where in your heart you sincerely believe that Jesus is the Son of God, 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." God dwelling in you means you've been born again. You dwelling in God means you've been chosen by God in Jesus Christ before creation even occurred. And that is a blessing that's inestimable. If our whole life here in this world were hard and miserable and difficult, and yet we had that hope within us that God dwells in us and we in God, that's a gift beyond telling. That's something worth being thankful for. We have a book, a hymn in our hymn book called Count Your Many Blessings. And so I just want to recommend that in obedience to this verse, in everything give thanks, that whether things are going pretty well with you right now, or whether things are exceedingly hard for you right now, try with whatever strength you have within you to choose to count your blessings and choose to be thankful. And I can't tell you how important it is to make this choice in an adequately clear manner. Just let me read some verses to emphasize the danger of ingratitude and unthankfulness. Any of you that have read the Old Testament and know when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt following Moses and Aaron, how often they murmured and complained, and how much more difficult it made their lives. Some of them actually died because of their complaining and murmuring. But let me just read this in Romans chapter 1, and I want you to see a progression of a downhill slide in this life. And I believe this refers to something that can happen to God's born-again children, those who dwell in God by election, those in whom God dwells by regeneration. Watch this downhill slide in Romans chapter 1, and then remark and notice what starts it. This is Romans chapter 1, and let me reveal Let me read from starting with verse 20. Read to the end of the chapter, because it gets bad by the end of the chapter. But let's start in verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Let me stop right there for a minute. Okay, the people have already slid into idolatry. They're worshiping images and things like that. But if you look in verse 21, where did this slide start? What did it start with? Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God. Now what a blessing that is. Jesus Christ said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Somebody that knows God, if they know Him in that experiential, vital sense spoken of by Jesus Christ, they're in possession of eternal life. You would think that that alone would cause us to have a certain attitude. But listen to what it says here, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as the one worthy of worship. Neither were thankful. Okay, here is the start of a downhill slide. They know God, but they don't concentrate on giving glory to God or thanks to God. They're not thankful. Often we're not thankful. And the next slide down from ingratitude is you start looking for other things to do and to worship. If you're not going to worship the true God, we're made in such a way we're going to worship something. We're going to worship ourselves. We're going to worship the devil. We're going to worship the works of our hands. Here they go. They're not thankful. They don't glorify God as God. And so, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Somebody that's ungrateful will kind of feel like they're a little bit smarter than everybody else, and they will try to pretend to be that way, professing themselves to be wise. And what they're doing is foolish. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So sometimes people will worship the works of their own hands. In Isaiah, God points out how stupid this is. He says a guy will cut down the stalk of a tree, and part of it he'll cut off and he'll burn and cook something over it. The other he'll carve into a god and fall down and worship it. And he says, it doesn't occur to them how stupid this is that you cut down the tree yourself, use part of the tree yourself to cook your dinner, you made the rest of the tree into a shape, and then you fell down and worshiped what you had made, even though you burnt the other part of it. But our idols today are just as stupid. If you worship money, if you worship fame, if you worship glamour, if you worship popularity, if you worship these things, those are man-made as well. So here, they become fools. It says in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the Creator more than worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So as you do this, you start to lose some of your own capability and begin to worship creatures rather than the Creator. Then it says in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So then they began to indulge in more perverse forms of sex, and they began to dishonor their body that way. And even as God did not like, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now that's a hard place to arrive at. Notice this mix of bad things. Murder and whisperers. Somebody that commits murder, somebody that gossips. I'm not saying they're the same degree of evil. One ends another human life. That's worse. But they're in the same list. Somebody that would destroy somebody's physical life, somebody that would try to destroy their reputation, there's something very similar about that, even though it's a different degree of harm done. Notice how things get to the bottom of this. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they're still, this is somebody that knows right from wrong. And it's still there. It's still in their mind, even though they're in a reprobate mind. Not only knowing that this is bad to do, not only do they continue doing them, they're glad to see other people joining them in it. It's like misery loves company. But where did all this start? How did somebody get to be to this point where they profess themselves to be so wise and so smart, but they're really acting very stupidly, and then they go into a reprobate mind, then they dishonor their body, then they get downright mean, they're unmerciful, and now not only are they mean and unmerciful, but they're glad to see other people acting that way. How did that start? Unthankfulness starts with ingratitude. Right, how can you prevent or reverse this process? Because I've seen this happen in my life. What do you do to make it better? You ask God, Lord, help me by your grace to be a thankful person, even if every day of my life from here on out is full of misery, darkness, and hardship. Help me to be grateful for the love wherewith you love me, because the Lord Jesus Christ suffered days that he lived here, even saying, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? You realize how misunderstood the Lord Jesus Christ was when he went about doing good, when he spent time with the people that had such hard times in life. Sometimes they were harlots. Sometimes they were despised publicans, which were tax collectors nobody liked, sinners and things. And he didn't become with them. He didn't join them in those activities. But he would be kind to them. And he would speak with them and sit and eat with them. And people would watch this and criticize him and say, behold, a wine-bibber and a gluttonous man, a friend of publicans and sinners. So when the different religious community members would see him, sometimes they would say, look at there. He's somebody that he drinks and he eats too much and he hangs out with bad people. And they misunderstood. I'll tell you how badly they misunderstood him. When he would set somebody free from an unclean spirit, a devil, they would say, oh, he's casting out devils through Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So by helping somebody that was afflicted, they called him in league with the head of the devils. Now you want to talk about misunderstood. And he was poor. He said, foxes have their dens. The birds of the air have their nest. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Right? You want to talk about a hard life in earth. One of poverty, of affliction, of people trying to have him assassinated or arrested, and then completely misunderstood. That's a hard life. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was a thankful man. Many times I go through this at communion. How thankful was the Lord Jesus Christ? He was thankful for his food. Before he fed the 5,000, before he broke the bread, the Bible says he gave thanks. Gave thanks for that little boy's lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes he was about to feed the crowd with. The Lord Jesus Christ was thankful for God's sovereignty. He said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. He was thankful that God heard prayer. He stood outside the tomb of his friend Lazarus and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest my prayer. And I know that thou hearest me always, Father, but for these that stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And then last of all, when the Lord came to the communion table, he took the cup of wine there, the symbol of his shed blood, and he gave thanks for that symbol. He gave thanks for the symbol of his own shed blood. He said, take this and drink. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins for many. Jesus Christ had a very hard life in this earth, and then his death was so exceeding hard that no matter how long I try to preach the gospel, I won't be able to tell how hard it was. I can tell about some of the physical things, how when they arrested him and took him to the house of Annas, the father-in-law of the high priest, they spat in his face, they blindfolded him, they struck him with the palms of their hand and said, prophesy, who just hit you? And then they took him before Pontius Pilate, who had him scourged. Now this Roman scourging back there could tear the skin and layers of tissue off a man's back, sometimes revealed bones. It was a tough torture. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And then finally, when Pontius Pilate pronounced him innocent, but sentenced him to death anyway, they drove nails through his hands and through his feet and lifted him up so the weight of his body would suffocate him and make it difficult for him to breathe. And yet, even in that time, he prayed to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But let me tell you, all of that with the scourging and the crown and the nails and the spitting and the blindfold and all that, that was just a drop in the bucket compared to what happened when the darkness covered the face of the earth and the wrath of God the Father was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he was made to be sin for us. God's wrath poured out on him. That goes far beyond a scourging and a crown and a few nails through your body and suffocation. The wrath of God, as Jesus Christ was made to be sin, and God's wrath poured out on him so that he paid for those sins until our sins were paid for. I don't have words to get to that. I think what happens is if the gospel's really preached, the man is blessed to be able to tell something of it, and then the Spirit of God takes it from there and brings it on into your heart and say, yes, it goes further than words can tell. But he did it for me. He died for me. His body was broken for me. But with all that, Jesus Christ was a thankful man. If you would live life in its joys and in its sufferings, and you would know him and the power of his resurrection and have the fellowship of his suffering, even as you suffer in this life, you'll count your many blessings. You know why? Because it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know the will of God for your life? Be thankful. The will of God for your life? Count your blessings. You say, Brother Marty, it's a short list. Count them anyway. As a matter of fact, it's a good way to exercise your memory and imagination. You'll begin to think of how God protected you in days past, how God blessed you in days past, of the hope of days to come because of his grace. It's a good thing to actually take you not from professing yourself to be wise and becoming a fool. It's for realizing how foolish I've been and helping me to be wiser. It reverses the process. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, you cannot rid yourself of the Spirit of God. For one thing, when the Spirit of God came into you and caused you to be born again, one of God's children, it wasn't your doing. As a matter of fact, not only did you not obtain that Spirit, you didn't even permit that Spirit. God did this as a sovereign work. Because ye are sons, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou may hearest the sound thereof, but thou knowest not whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Are you able to control the wind? I can't. There's been times I was on the water in a sailboat. I sure would have if I could have. But I can't. I can tell when it's blowing. I can see the evidence of it. I can gauge the direction of it at any moment of time. So I can get the evidence of it, but I can't cause it to come. I can't cause it to stop. I can't even change its direction. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can't get yourself born of the Spirit. You can't get yourself unborn of the Spirit. You can tell evidences that somebody is born of the Spirit. Your presence here today, it's an evidence to me. You're born of the Spirit. You wouldn't want to sit here and listen about the grace and the sufferings and the power of Jesus Christ if you weren't born of the Spirit. But you can get that evidence, but you can't make it happen. And listen, you can't cause the Spirit to leave you. It's there like a burning hot coal. It's an incorruptible sea. No matter what you may think or what you may do, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, wrote this, being confident of this thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That incorruptible seed in you will cause you to reach heaven, will cause you to always be one of God's children. That is just how incorruptible and powerful the presence of the Spirit is in you. But what about quenching it? You ever had your grill going and you're preparing to cook something and you've got the coals just right, and then one area over here all of a sudden flames up, and now not only do you have heat, you've got light. You've got really more heat and more light than you want to put your food on. And so you may get a spray bottle or a little bit of water and you quench that particular area, and it's still hot, still able to cook, but it's not flaming up. When you quench the Spirit of the Lord, that's what happens. You can't get rid of the Spirit of the Lord, thank God. But you sure can stop becoming a light to this world. One of the ways we stop becoming a light in this world and quench the Spirit is by unthankfulness and ingratitude. Some of these things that are described right around this is when we become unthankful and ungrateful, we no longer have that flame emitting that light. That is, the Spirit of God still dwells within you, but it's not shining to help anybody else, because you're in gratitude and unthankfulness, and the resulting disobedience, dishonoring of your own mind and your body, that you slide from that, causes you to be discouraging to others rather than encouraging to others. So don't quench the Spirit. Be grateful. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prophesyings is sometimes in the Bible, it's somebody that's been blessed to have a vision of the future, tell you what's coming up. And then sometimes prophesying can be just testifying of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, it says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't despise that. Don't take that lightly. When somebody tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you and what He commands for you to do in His service, Don't just take it lightly. Take it to heart. And then right after that it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Instead of despising it, take it and listen to it and then prove it. Say, okay, I've heard this. This man's telling me something about Jesus Christ. Let me think if I buy that. Let me take it to Scripture. I'm going to test it. I'm going to prove it. Prove all things. Any information that comes to you, whether it's from evening news or the newspaper or a college class or an elementary school class or a high school class or a preacher, whatever it is, take that information. Don't despise it. Don't just immediately set it aside saying, well, that's not what I've heard before. Take it, listen to it, and bring it to what you know about the Bible and see if it is good. Because what is good and what is evil is clearly defined in this. Prove all things, that is, put it to the test. Hold fast that which is good. If it passes the test, you say, yeah, I've listened to that. Taking it to the Scripture seems to check out there. I've taken it in here. I understand, may not like it, but it seems to be what the Bible teaches. All right, I'm going to prove it in my own life. I'm going to try to follow that advice. And then I found, yeah, that was hard, but it was good. Hold on to it. Hold it fast. This is the way that you don't quench the Spirit. This is the way you walk according to the Spirit. When you're a thankful person, when you don't despise prophesying, you don't despise the testimony of Jesus, and you prove all things and hold fast that which is good. You know, that's the very mark of a good way to be open-minded. Somebody that's not open-minded will not prove all things. There's a lot of things that just won't listen to at all. I'm not going to take that in, put it to the test. It's just like, I'm going to disregard it. I'm going to despise it. Some people are open-minded to the point of foolishness. They take all things, but they don't prove them. And so they're just gullible. And then they don't hold fast to that which is good. There needs to be a sorting process in your life where you're taking information, testing it to see if it's any good, holding on to it if it is good, letting go of it if it's not. And if you're able to do that in an open-minded, thoughtful, thankful manner, you won't be quenching the Spirit. You'll be walking according to the Spirit of God. And you know what will happen? You will be taking on your role as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And you will help, not only yourself, you'll help the lives of other people. They'll see that. They'll see that thankfulness in your life. They'll see that you're one who carefully considers the information that comes to you. And it will help them. It'll encourage them. It'll strengthen them. Then finally it says, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. There again, you're trying not to quench the Spirit. You're trying to be like the Lord said to His disciples, you are the light of the world. Abstain, that means stay away from, put away, all appearance of evil. Now, recently somebody sent me a little video, just a few minutes, and it tickled me. It was three little preschool boys. They weren't, you know, they weren't kindergarten age yet, but they were beyond toddlers. One of them was pretty articulate. And his two little, looks like maybe a brother or a cousin or a cousin and a friend are standing beside him. And one's looking down, and the other is just kind of wringing his hands almost like he's praying. And this little boy, he's just a little thing. He's just maybe three. Very articulate. And it's clear these three boys have taken a marker, dry board marker or something, and marked patterns all over their bodies. And they've been caught by their mom. And they're standing there, one looking down, the other kind of praying. And the one in the middle, he's standing there. And his mom is talking to all three of them, and he's the spokesman. And he said, and she said, you got hold of a marker, didn't you? And it's like, yes, ma'am. Why did you do that to yourself? And the little fellow looks at her and he says, we just wanted to be bad guys. So Let me put this marker. Sometimes I wonder, I don't know, you know, the way folks do things to their bodies or they dress or something. I don't find anything particularly specifically sinful about it in the Bible. But it's almost clear what they're trying to do. They're trying to be the tough guy. They're trying to be the tough girl. They're trying to say to the world, don't mess with me. And you know what? It rarely ever works. You know what it usually does? What it does is kind of put at a distance folks who would otherwise be friends or be kind to them. Now, not everybody. Some friends are pretty bold. They'll take you no matter how tough a guy. But I just wish that every child of God would realize we're not that tough. But realize that in Jesus Christ we have great strength. Let's not be before God like that. And the little fella says, we were just trying to be bad guys. He said, then he suggested a punishment to his mother. He said, maybe we should just think about this. But he's there. I'll have to show it to you later. But I think there's a lot of folks in their 50s and 60s that are still trying to dress themselves up, saying, we're just trying to be bad guys, you know, so that folks will think that they're some kind of tough. I find there's a lot of people that really have gone through very tough things. There's a lot of people that have served this nation in very dangerous circumstances, in some very hard situations, facing a great likelihood of death. And you know, most of those, when you meet them, they're just regular. You wouldn't know them as different from anybody else. We got veterans here, you know, sitting here, dressed very nicely. They've encountered and seen some horrible things. In a way, if you look at it, they really are tough guys. There's a difference between going through and being delivered from evil and taking on yourself the appearance of evil. And it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Quit trying to be the bad girl. Quit trying to be the bad guy. I know the purpose of it. I've done that before. It's try to, if you can't get respect, at least get a little fear. And brothers and sisters, it doesn't work. It puts a distance between you and others that you can help and that might help you. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It's part of not quenching the Spirit. I think all of these things help us not to quench the Spirit. Instead of just being blessed with the Spirit of God, to actually have the Spirit of God flame up in our lives and light the world for those about us. Don't be unthankful. Be thankful. Don't despise prophesying. Listen to the testimony of Jesus. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Don't be closed-minded. Be open-minded, carefully taking information to the Scripture. And don't assume the appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't try to be the bad guy. Try to, you know, the deal with me is now I'm trying to act like the good guy, and I know I'm still inside the bad guy that I was when I was trying to look like the bad guy. But here's the good news of the gospel. You look inside trying to be the good guy, and you look inside a little deeper, and you know it's full of guilt and shame and pettiness and sloth and lust and vanity and greed and all that. It's down in there. But then the gospel says, now take a deeper look. And when you take that deeper look, you see what Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 7. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And I trust you'll see that too. Look a little lower than the surface level. You'll see some pretty bad stuff. Look even lower than the bad stuff. And you'll see something that's good. The hope of glory. This is the mystery that's been hidden from the ages, but now revealed to the church of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How is Christ in you? By grace. How will people see Christ in you? by faith and obedience. You say, well, I don't want to pretend to be something that I'm not. Don't! Just not pretend. Just live according to what you are. Live your best life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, your name is holy, O God, and you're great. You're full of wisdom, majesty, and glory. You've been so good to us, Lord. You put loved ones in our lives. You've given us food to eat and clothes to wear. Most of all, Lord, the great gift of your only begotten Son. Lord, we thank you for the evidence, even the evidence of the belief in our heart, because faith is in our heart, Lord, by your grace only. We would have never chosen to come, Lord. We would have never done anything pleasing in your sight. We, by our conception, our flesh, Lord, we were enmity to God. Lord, just the very fact that there's love within us is an evidence that you are within us. We thank you about that, Lord. We thank you for that. Help us to be more thankful than we are. Father, sometimes we give thanks and it's such a short list, and in reality it's such a long list. Help us to be blessing counters. Help us, dear God, to shine brightly in your service. Help us to be humble and bold and kind. Lord, in our humility, help us to listen to others, what wisdom they might have to share with us, and be kind to them. Dear God, live in such a way that doesn't put them off, but draws them in, and fellowship may abound to the glory of your name. Bless this nation, dear God, to repent and turn toward you. Bless us to love one another. Bless us to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Please come quickly, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.